And you might ask yourself, talk about loving God, loving people, what does hate got to do with it? Has a lot to do with it. Has a lot to do with it. And sometimes we get to the illusion and we believe that if we just love people and love God, that they're going to love us back and all's going to go well. That's not true. There is hostility in the world. History tells us that that the gospel message is costly to proclaim. Most of the apostles lost their lives. It says that many of the early believers were martyred for the sake of the gospel. James, the son of Zebedee, Matthew, Matthias, and Paul were beheaded. Stephen was stoned. You can read about that in the book of Acts. Thomas was run through with spears. Luke was hanged from an olive tree. James was beaten to death with a club. Jude, Peter, Andrew, and Bartholomew were crucified. And those were the disciples who followed Jesus. The only one of the original apostles that died of old age was John. The rest of them was murdered. And they were murdered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I say that to proclaim the gospel is costly. But it says also that those of us who are called to preach the message in this post-Christian society, we've never seen that type of persecution. We can't even imagine that type of suffering. Nevertheless, we often don't proclaim the gospel. Do you know what it says that the average Christian goes a whole year without telling anyone about Jesus? Now, I hate to come back and be the bearer of bad news, but I'm just going to be the passage that many of us sung the song, "How Great is Our God," and this is the only place you're going to say that is right here. You won't go to your community, you won't go to your job, you won't go to the baseball field, the basketball field, the golf course, and you won't say that out with your buddies because this is a safe environment. You can say that here. We're going to amen you, we're going to say amen. But I dare you to go out in your community and on your job and start saying this, that our God is great. There's no other God besides him. Many of us have never experienced persecution. And I will say to you that if you have not experienced persecution for being a Christian, something's wrong. You're not doing something right. Because Jesus suffered persecution. I think sometimes we tend to forget that our Savior was crucified. We call that murdered. And he loved people. And they hung him on a tree and crucified him. Matter of fact, they asked for him to be crucified. So we who are his people, who have been left here on earth to proclaim the gospel, how can we not share the gospel and deal with persecution? I believe in 10 to 20 years from now, we will experience persecution in America. I believe it's going to happen. And then I believe that when persecution happens, it does two things. The true Christians rise up, and those who are not fall away. Because persecution, it purges the church, and it strengthens the church. Those who are serious will die for their faith. Those that are not will say, hey, peace, see you later. So we want to hear, we at Beyond the Walls, we want to love Jesus Christ, but we want to equip you, to empower you, to proclaim the gospel wherever you go, unapologetically, boldly, but lovingly saying, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's what we want to do. And in this passage, we're going to see that Jesus is talking to his disciples the night before he's going to be arrested. He's talking with disciples over a meal. And Jesus is preparing them for life without him. He's preparing them for his departure. He's giving them some great news. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to give you my peace, my love. You're going to abide in me. But then he tells them, I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you the hostility of the world. And they're going to aim it at you because of me. And so we're going to see how to deal with hate in the world. So when you, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. And when you have it, please stand as we read the word. We're going to be in verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. So if you don't have a Bible and don't have an outline, please, we want you to have an outline and a Bible. John, chapter 15, starting at verse 8. Everybody has it?
Amen.
Here we go. Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Notice he didn't say they might persecute you. He said they will. Bank on it. Guarantee. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I've said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Let us pray. Father, we come before you today to hear your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, give us ears to hear what you're going to say to us. And Father, I pray that we would not be hearers only, but be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. How to deal with hate. When we think about hate, it has become a popular word in our culture today. Most of the kids talk about don't hate, celebrate, that type of stuff. They walk around researching how to deal with haters, or haters gotta hate, that type of stuff. You know, just all type of stuff, you know, just haters. And most of the time when we say, you know, haters gotta hate, it's really dealing with just people that maybe just disagree with us or don't really like us, but not really hate as Jesus is talking about. When Jesus is talking about hate, he's talking about somebody who wants to not only that hates you, they want to harm you. I mean, they want to put their hands on you. So when I'm talking about hate today, I'm talking about someone who has so much hostility toward you that their goal in mind is to kill you, to hurt you. That's the kind of hate that Jesus is talking about. He said, they have hated me and to the point that they want to kill me. And Jesus told his disciples, that's the type of hate that you're going to face because of my name, because of Jesus. Christians around the world are haters. So let me ask you a question. What causes hatred of Christians? That's in your outline. What causes hatred of Christians? Number one, the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ causes hatred. They say, well, what do you mean by the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ? You mean I thought God was inclusive, not exclusive. No, Jesus made claims in the Bible that only he could claim. That either he was telling the truth or he was lying. Because in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that is very exclusive. Jesus saying that no one is going to heaven except through me. Jesus Christ is the bridge by which we almost cross over, that we all must cross over in order to have a relationship with the Father. Now, when you say that, people don't like that. How can you say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Because our world believes that our religions are basically the same. Just different names. All roads lead to heaven. Maybe some Christians maybe say, well, I believe that. Well, you might believe that, but you can't base it on the Word of God. Because Jesus crushes that. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And that does not play good downtown. People don't want to hear that. They do not want to hear that you're saying there's only one way to God. But as Christians, we have to proclaim that. I remember one day watching Larry King when he was on, and he had Pastor Rick Warren on. And so Larry King, whenever he had a preacher on, I knew the question he was going to ask. It was always going to come up. And he said, so do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Now, when he said that, I said, oh, Lord, here we go. Because many pastors on this show have fumbled the ball. So I'm thinking, okay, what's he going to say? So I'm okay, here it comes. And Rick Warren says, yes, I believe that. He said, how can you believe that? He said, well, don't get mad at me. I didn't say it. Jesus said it, and I believe Jesus. And that was it. He said, no, I didn't say that. Jesus said that, and I believe him. So take it up with him. I'm like, wow, that's a good answer. He didn't fumble the ball. Hit it out the park. Home run. And we should believe that. But that does not get you many friends to say that. Because they say, we all worship the same God. We all worship the same, whether it's Buddha, Muhammad, same God. Not true. There is no name under heaven by which men must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he says that every at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, he says, in heaven and where? In earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Do you believe that? Amen. Here at Beyond the Walls, we believe that. We believe that there's no salvation except in Jesus Christ. Amen. All roads do not lead to heaven. One road is Jesus Christ. And that's why hatred becomes to be a part of Christians. They say, you guys are intolerant. The second thing that brings about hatred is the belief that the Bible is God's truth. The belief that the Bible is God's revealed truth. Many people say, I remember this on the show, Piers Morgan says to a pastor when he was talking about why Christians would not agree that homosexuality is God's will. And he said, you know what, you Christians need to update your Bible. Your Bible is archaic. You need to update this thing. I want you to know the Bible is more up to date today than the USA Today is. The Bible is more up to date today than your local newspaper is. The Bible does not need to be updated. This is the Word of God. This is God's revealed truth. This is God's truth to us, and we cannot change God's Word. We must believe it. We must submit to it. And when you say, I'm not going to bow the knee to political pressure, I'm going to trust God's word, this is God's word, you will be hated because of that. Also, the third thing is that gets us hate is our standard of morality. We believe that God wants us to live holy. We believe God wants us to live in a way that honors him. Now, I want you to know that you're not saved because you live a good life. You're not. There's none righteous, no, not one. But we do believe that once God saves us and transforms us, the Bible says that we're to be holy as our Father is holy. We're to live in a way to say, listen, once we've been born again and we're risen from the dead, we're to live in a way that glorifies God. We're to do that. And I want you to know, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, he says this, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, why in the world would someone hate you for living a godly life? Why would someone persecute you for living for God? Because most of the time, when we try to live a godly life, we begin to convict other people of their sins. Hang around your friends, teenagers, and when they want to do something and you know it's not right, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I want to live for God. If they don't say it to your face, they say it behind your back. Teenagers, when you say no, I want to remain a virgin. I want to save sex for my husband or for my wife. I'm not going to go out here and sleep around. I want to remain pure. They're going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you. But we should do it to glorify God. God expects us to live a holy life. But you'd be hated for that. That causes hatred. They hated Jesus because he says, I'm the Son of God. They hated Jesus because he says, it is written, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. They hated Jesus because he says, which of you can convict me of sin? They hated him. And they would hate us. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Now, when Jesus talks about hatred of the world, I want to make sure that we're clear when I say the world what I'm talking about. Because you say, well, the world hates us, but yet God loves it. So when you say the world, what do you mean? Most of the time when there are ways that the word world is used in the Bible. One, when it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So when you see in that context, the world means people. God loved the people. Then you might hear when it says that we are not to love the world. Well, he's talking about this world system, the system that's against God. Then you might hear someone says that God created the world and all that in it. He's talking about the spirit, the globe, that God created the world. Let there be light, and there was light. So you hear one thing, God created the world, the hemisphere. Then you say God loved the world, that's people. Then it says God says, said the world's going to hate you. He's talking about this world system controlled by the evil one will hate you. So Jesus is talking about this world system. Is going to hate him and hate us. So how should Christians respond to the world? How should we respond to the world? Number one, we are told not to conform to this world. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't conform to this world. What he's saying really is don't pattern your life after this world system. Don't try to live your life like the world does. If you do that, you'll be fairly disappointed. And the world is always telling us you need more of this, more of this, more money, more of this, more of this. And sadly, if we're not careful as Christians, we can find ourselves into many harmful traps by trying to conform to the world. He says, don't conform to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's why I said that what you believe about Jesus Christ will also transform the way you think. We got to think differently about life. We got to think differently. And we can only think differently when we get into God's word. Do you spend time in God's word? Is it only on Sunday when you open the Bible up, or do you spend time alone with God in prayer, reading the word, knowing what God says to you? See, the Bible is an acronym I call it, is basic instruction before leaving earth. The Bible. God's word is a roadmap for our life. It teaches us how to live our life. And if you're not in the word of God, you don't know where you're going. We want to be in God's word. Don't be conformed to this world. Secondly, he says we are told not to love the world. Don't love the world. Why? Why should we not love the world? Because it says, first of all, it says that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, and that is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Desires of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boasting about life. I mean, even commercials get you, don't they? You watch a TV show and a commercial comes on and tell you, you need this new TV, this new car, this new phone. You need something to make you feel better about yourself. Before you know it, you're in debt. Boasting about what you have. But I love what Jesus says, what profits a man or woman to gain the whole world and do what? Lose his soul. Because, see, things are not eternal, but your soul is. Many people work for temporary things and don't care anything about the eternal soul. Things are temporary, but your soul is eternal. So why would you trade in your soul for things? Now, I want you to know this, and many of you might believe this, the devil does not care a lot about you having stuff. I mean, matter of fact, he really wants your stuff to have you, because if you go back in Matthew chapter 4 and you read that last temptation, he offered Jesus the world. He said, Jesus, I give you all this stuff on one condition. You bow down and worship me, and I'll give it to you. Fame, fortune, and females. And many of us trade in, are dying to get fame, fortune, for men, females. Why? Because we desire to boast about what we have. So don't love the world. Third thing he says, we are told to renounce this world system. It means to renounce that this world no longer has control over you anymore. That you are no longer a slave of the world. That you serve another king. That you have a different allegiance. You are to renounce the world. Paul told Titus, he says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Train us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Renounce this world system. It has no control over you anymore. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He said, our priority as Christians should be to seek God's kingdom, his will. We have a different allegiance. Renounce this world system. Fourthly, we are to be light in the world. We are to be light in the world. Why are we light in the world? So that we can draw humanity to salvation, Jesus Christ. We're to be light. We're to be exposed in the darkness and pointing people to Jesus Christ, saying, hey, we are calling you out of darkness into God's light to know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He brings about salvation. And I say again, I believe this. God left you and I here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to lead people to follow him. That's why God left you here. And I want you to know, as a Christian, God is not going to judge you for your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. But God's going to judge you on what you did with his son, Jesus Christ. What did you do with the gospel? What did you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to know that sometimes now, I've heard this before, and I'm going to clear this up for you. We say, no, to let our light shine. We should. We should do good works. But you better make sure when you have those works, that you better make sure you say something out your mouth, that you're sharing the gospel. Because now we heard this before, and I said it before, but this is not correct. We say this right here. Preach the gospel always, right? And if necessary, do what? Use words. Now I want you to know this right here. If I said to you, I said, now listen, church, we're going to leave here, and we're going to feed the homeless. And necessary, we're going to use food. We're going to feed the homeless, and we may use food to feed them. Now, you're going to say, is Pastor lost his mind? You got to feed homeless people with food, right? It's impossible to feed the homeless and not have food. It's impossible to preach the gospel without saying something. Words. Matter of fact, it says in Romans 10, how can they hear unless what? Someone tell them. It says faith comes by what? And hearing by what? So when I hear people say, oh, I just go out there and help the homeless and I just love on them. Listen, that's great. That's humanity. You've been a humanitarian. We have called to share the gospel. Jesus did feed people, but that didn't get him in trouble. When he opened his mouth, that's what got him killed. Right. We preach the gospel. So you must preach the gospel. You must say something. You must preach the gospel. If you think God living here is to give people water and food, there are people who are unsaved doing that. There are people right now giving people water and food who don't know Jesus Christ. They're doing it. But not doing it for the glory of God. They're not doing it to get people about Jesus Christ. As Christians, we represent Jesus Christ, and we come to preach the gospel. That's why we're here. So we are to be a light, but also, fifthly, we are to engage the world with the gospel. Jesus says in Matthew 28, told his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all what? Ethnicities, all nations. He told them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then he said, do what? Teach them to obey. Say something, teach them. And see, as Christians, we got to understand, we must proclaim the gospel. We must say something. And that's why it's so important to be in your word. That's why we give you the sermon on an outline on a piece of paper. So you can remember it, so you can study it, so you can proclaim it. I said earlier in my sermon that most Christians never share their faith. Never share their faith with no one. Now, I want you to know, men, how many men in here married? Raise your hand if you're married, man. Raise your hand. Okay, married, man. Okay, put your hand out. Okay. Man, I want you to know this. This is. I'm going to help you out with this. Say you went to a party at your job, say, and you decided to take your wife. She got all dressed up, and she walked in there, and you walked in there, and your boss said, man, I didn't know you was married. I never heard about your wife. Now, I want you to know that's going to be a cold night when you get home. It's going to be a quiet ride home in the car. Because she's going to say, what? What do you mean you didn't know you was married? Ladies, how'd you feel about that? Wouldn't be a nice feeling with it. So how can we be a Christian for 10 years and nobody knows? Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Say something. So how should we Christians respond to hate? How should we respond to hate? Look at your Bible again in John chapter 15, verse 18. Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He said to them, the world's going to hate you. So we should, number one, expect it. Expect it. Now, the thing I love about Jesus is that he told the truth. I mean, can you imagine telling folks this? Your disciples, hey, listen, I want you to know that they're going to hate you. They're going to kill some of you. But I'm praying for you. Well, thank Jesus for that. Hey, you want to eat some more? No, I don't eat no more. I lost my appetite. But think about that. Imagine if we told people that today, listen, I want you to know, when you become a Christian up here, you might get killed. That's not going to get people saved, is it? Matter of fact, most people get upset when you say, now you mean tell me that now that I'm a Christian, I might have to stop sleeping around? Yeah. Or you mean tell me that now my mom and daddy, they something else, but I'm a Christian now. Do you mean I got to tell them? They might disown me. Yeah. Yeah. You probably got to tell them. See, sometimes as Christians, pastors, we make it too easy for folks to follow Jesus Christ. They say, well, I can follow Jesus Christ. It ain't going to cost me anything. It's going to cost you something to follow Jesus. It might cost you some friends. It really will. It costs you some friends. I've seen marriages break up behind Jesus. So we should expect it. Persecution. Jesus said it's coming. And as I read to you earlier, those early apostles lost their life. So number two, we should embrace it. They said, now what do you mean embrace it? Look at verse 20, John 15. Jesus says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. So we must embrace the fact that persecution is a part of the Christian life. I'm going to say it again. Persecution is a part of the Christian life. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says that it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his name's sake. To suffer. I advise you, when you get a chance, to go back and read the book of Acts chapter 4. And you read what happened to those early Christians once they started preaching about Jesus. And what happened in their lives. What happened to the apostles? What happened to Peter? What happened to Paul? Read what happened to them. They didn't get a key to the city. They didn't get welcome, they didn't get called to Caesar's house to hang out. We must embrace persecution. We have to embrace it. And most of the time, we don't want to embrace it. We say, we get upset, somebody don't like us, they don't like me anymore, they took my parking spot. That doesn't do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with that. We must embrace it. Embrace the fact that truth hurts. Now, I like my man Jack Nicklaus when he says, you can't handle the truth. You want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Most of us can't. But the truth is found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. And he says, but they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. The name of Jesus Christ brings about two types of feelings: love by many and hate by millions. The one name of Jesus brings about love and also hate. One man can garner so much emotions at once. Because Jesus is a controversial figure. Because he speaks the truth. So number one, expect it. Number two, embrace it. Number three, rejoice. Rejoice in it. See, how can I rejoice over someone hating me? I'm supposed to rejoice in that. Now, I almost put, don't hate, celebrate. You know, but I just rejoice. Rejoice in it. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Now, I want you to know, I believe God blesses his people. I really do. Do you believe that? I believe God blesses people. But I have never heard no one say this to me about being blessed. Most of the time, people say they're blessed. A couple things. Either they got some money, they came into something that material that they got, like somebody, they got a check in the mail, they got some money, they're blessed, they got a job. They're blessed, right? But I've never heard a Christian say he's blessed when this happens. Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Verse 11. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you. I have never heard no one come to me and say, Pastor, I was blessed. Somebody cussed me out coming in here for Jesus. I was blessed. Somebody punched me in the face coming in here. He punched me hard, too. Man, I'm blessed. I never hear that. When Christians get persecuted for Jesus, what I hear, oh, why are they messing with me? I don't know. I don't know why they're talking about me. When Jesus says, rejoice, be glad. They persecuted Jesus. He said, be happy about it. Rejoice. You're blessed when you suffer for Jesus. You're blessed and you're highly favored. Amen? When that happens. But I never heard a Christian say that. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 42, it says that the apostles were beaten and flogged. It said in verse 40 and 42, they left there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. They left there after getting beat, praising God. Wow. Said, man, that was awesome. They wore me out. I was crying like a baby, but I was shouting to Jesus the whole time. He was beating me. What do you do with persecution when it comes your way? Do you complain about it? Now, some of us don't have a clue what persecution is. Some people say, they don't like me on my job because I'm a Christian. They don't like me. No, they don't like you because you're mean and nasty. Had nothing to do with Jesus. Just you. Just rude. No, we're talking about being persecuted because you are a Christian, and that's the reason why they want to hurt you, because of Jesus, because of his name's sake. And most of us have never been persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. So rejoice in it. Because Jesus says, they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They kept my word, they'll keep your word. So fourthly, we should overcome it with love. We should overcome persecution with love. Now you say, now, Pastor, how can we overcome persecution with love? How can you love people who hate you? Because the goal is, if someone hates you, natural tendency is what? Hate them back, right? Someone hits you, you hit them back, correct? Well, Jesus says, don't do that. Well, how can we do that? The key is verse 26 of John chapter 15. Jesus talks to them not only about persecution. He says, but when the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I want you to know that Jesus Christ has not left you and I alone. He has given us his Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us to live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. You can't. And so Jesus Christ gives us the Holy Spirit that will help us overcome hate with love. Do you know that because the Holy Spirit is in you, you can love your enemies? Amen. You can love the unlovable? You can love people who hate you. Jesus did. He did. I love what Dr. King says, that great civil rights leader. Here's what he says. He says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So don't hate. Love people. Overcome it with love. Overcome those who hate you. And that's why the mark of a Christian should be, we should love God and love people. And guess what? He didn't tell us love some people. Love people. Love all people. A Christian cannot and should not hate. That's not in our DNA. It doesn't come from the Father. God loves. And God wants us to love people. We should be focused on the great commandment and the great commission. So don't be overcome by hate. Overcome it with love. And fifthly, don't go looking for hate. Don't go looking for it. That's another thing. Don't go looking. Jesus did not go looking for hate. He just loving people, and the haters came to him. The haters came. Everywhere Jesus went, the Pharisees were right there. He's healing people, feeding people. They're right there. What are you doing? You can't do that. Why not? It was against the law. What law? Their law. So as Christians, we don't go looking for hate. I mean, we don't be rude for rude's sake. We should love people. We should love enough to tell them the truth about the gospel. It's all about how you say it, too. You know, you ever seen roll by and you saw somebody out there with a sign saying, turn or burn? You know, just out there, turn or burn! Repent, you wicked people! I mean, I'm offended, I'm a Christian. That's not how you win people, doing that. You don't win people doing that. Love people. Tell them God loves them. Because you and I both know what we were when we weren't Christians. We all weren't born, well, nobody was born a Christian, let me tell you that right now. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, what about you? So I can remember where I was, what I was doing before I became a Christian. And that's why I can have pity on those who don't know Jesus Christ, because I didn't know Jesus Christ until I was 25. But God's grace and his mercy, because a friend cared enough to tell me about Jesus. My friend, my coworker, cared enough to tell me about Jesus. And when he did that, it transformed my life. I praise God for him. And there's some friend that you have that God wants you to reach, some family members, and you haven't told them. There's some people that you are around in your inner circle that you've not told them nothing about Jesus. See, if you're at school, if you're a teenager, you got friends, tell them about Jesus. At your job, tell them about Jesus. I don't care if you're coaching basketball or football. You should be telling those students to know, hey, listen, our coach loves Jesus. Not all about winning. It's about Jesus. Do we do that? So don't go looking for hate. Peter says, be ready to give a what? An answer. For everyone who asks you for the hope that lies in you. He said, but do it with this. Gentleness and respect. Be gentle. Be respectful. But be bold. Be loving. But tell people about Jesus Christ. We can do that. And that's how we deal with hate. We expect it. We embrace it. We rejoice. We overcome it. But we don't go looking for it. God loves us. And he has given us the ability by his Holy Spirit to overcome whatever the enemy throws at us. Jesus says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against what? The church. So my conclusion is this. Don't be overcome by hate, but rather overcome hate with love. Let's love the world enough to share the gospel. Let's love the world enough to share the gospel. So this week, you have an assignment. Every day is an assignment from God, but you have an assignment. Pray for an opportunity to share the gospel with someone in your sphere of influence. Pray for the opportunity to share the gospel with someone in your sphere of influence. Now, we help you out a little bit. You can do it this way. Everybody, if you haven't got a card, you should have got one. If you're not, get one before you leave. There's a little card that talks about our church. And when you talk to someone about it, about the gospel, hey, I'm going to give you this card too. If you're looking for a church, want you to just know that we love God, we love people. We want to tell you about Jesus Christ. You know what? I believe the prayer that God always answers is this prayer. If you pray, God, I want you to bring someone into my sphere of influence so I can share Jesus with them. I believe God will answer that prayer every day, every time. Amen. That's one prayer that heaven will answer. Yes, yes, yes. You know why? Because God has left you here to do his will. His will is that men might be saved. How many of us have gone this week and not told no one about Jesus? Okay, 2 weeks. 3 weeks. A month. 2 months. You've been saved for 6 years. You didn't tell anybody. You know what? The average Christian has never seen someone come to Christ. And I want you to know that I have three children, and I was there for every one of their births. I was right there in the room. I was right there in the room. And I want you to know there's nothing else that gives me joy than being there when my children was born. The top is that. But second to that is being there when someone is born again by Jesus Christ. To be there when it happens. To be talking with them and you see God save them right in front of me. It happens. Right in front of me, they get born again. Do you see God do it right in front of your eyes? You're sharing the gospel and you see, boom, they're ready. The average Christian has never experienced that. Have never seen someone come to faith in Christ. Have never been a part of it. You're missing out. You're missing out on something. And God wants you to experience that. And the sad thing is, most Christians say, well, I don't really care if I have to see that. Somebody else will do it. The pastor will do it. I don't need to see that. Really? You don't want to see that happen? Man, I tell you, man, if you don't want to see a person get born again, I want to question, did you get born again? If that's not your passion, to see folks get saved and to be a part of it, man, I'd go back in the water again and get rebaptized and see whether it takes the second time. So let's share the gospel. As beyond the walls, our mission is clear. We'll lead people to do what? That's it. And I say again, nothing else will ever, ever, ever take the priority over that. That's what we do here. We want people to follow Jesus Christ. Don't follow me, follow Jesus. If you follow him, he will always lead you and guide you to the right place. He will always lead you. He will bring you safely home. And you've been saved, as King David said in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Then he says, surely goodness and mercy should follow me where? All the days of my life. Then he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. You can't beat that. Only Christians can say that. Forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you're here today and you are not a Christian, we invite you to come to Jesus. Jesus Christ extends an invitation. He says, come to me. He wants you to come. Will you come? God loves you.